Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are Going In Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson. And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. Where else are we, Steve?
Anywhere fine podcasts are available. Be sure to hit the subscribe button. And we're also on the Patreon if you want to financially support the cause in return for goods and services like live streams and comics and all sorts of stuff.
Yes, we're also at Pro Wrestling Tees at prowrestlingtees.com/Going In Raw. 7 designs, including this awesome Fun Wrestling logo shirt.
Money. So much money. Fun Wrestling needs money because their ratings are... I'm popping ratings every week, Larson. Every week I'm popping
Well, we'll
ratings.
See how that goes.
Human sacrifices. Out. Can't compete with that on WGPW. I mean, on Fun Wrestling. Anyways, we're not here to talk about Fun Wrestling or WGPW, Larson. What are we here to talk about?
205 Live and NXT.
Yeah. I loved NXT continues to be my favorite hour of pro wrestling every week. This week was stacked. This week was amazing. In fact, I think I actually had an Andrade Cien Almas dream last night.
That's interesting.
I think I did. I don't remember what it was, but I think I remember him being in the dream. Hopefully it was me partying with him. He's amazing. He's amazing.
Oh, I like him a lot. I don't like this angle, though.
We'll talk about it. It's fantastic. First, let's get 205 Live out of the way, which I actually had a good time
watching. Yeah, it was a fun show.
Live. Yeah, no, there was some really good matches. I'm not gonna beat the dead horse of that dead crowd into the ground anymore.
I will say that, especially during the main event, the crowd seemed more into it than they had in previous weeks.
Dude, because it was a fantastic match. They have to put on these really, really great matches to get the crowd in.
I know.
It's so unfair. Like, it was this was a pay-per-view level match.
Yeah.
And they have to put those on in order to get the crowd mildly interested.
I know.
It's so sad, man.
Save for the episode that was in Seattle a few weeks back, because that crowd was really into the show.
Oh, yeah. Seattle, yeah. They were passionate.
That was a really good crowd.
Passionate group there.
This is probably the best crowd 205 Live has had in months.
Yeah, I know. They could have an electric atmosphere if they just did this in its own venue, smaller crowd. It'd be electric.
I know we've
gone over it a million times.
And several times.
We're not trying to, like I said, beat a dead horse here. Let's just kick it off with what happened first, and that was a tag match. Rich Swann and Akira Tozawa took on Noam Dar and Brian Kendrick. All four of these men have their own feuds going on. And it continued with they went heavy with the Kendrick Tozawa. This is kind of a vehicle for Kendrick Tozawa.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. I mean, I imagine we'll probably get maybe like a Rich Swann, Noam Dar blow off maybe next week.
I would suspect within the next couple weeks.
It would seem that it should be. I'm not sure how much more they can milk out of this.
They're definitely taking their time with Tozawa Kendrick.
Oh, yeah. And I love that. I like that a lot. Because what did I say? Like, if you can't have something tangible to fight over, then doing this like weekly lessons thing is good. And and it's reaching a boiling point. They really can't extend it that much longer, I would think.
Well, how many lessons?
I mean, that's the logical
Kendrick,
point. I forget.
Try to teach Tozawa. I thought it was 10.
Was it? I thought it was.
Maybe it was only 7 or something.
I remember it going as high as I think 8.
Okay,
maybe. Although, if you and I, if we keep up this whole like sharing memories thing, it's probably both somehow.
Or in the middle.
9.
Yeah.
Maybe it'd be 9. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm entertained by it. They're putting on good matches.
Yeah. This was a fun match.
All these guys are a million bucks.
Tozawa picked up the win, hitting Noam Dar with the Shining Wizard.
Yeah, and then
getting the pin.
His lesson for the day was, he says, Kendrick, you didn't choose wisely with your partner. So lesson number whatever it was.
4.
Four. Okay.
Yeah,
4.
I wrote it down here.
All right, good job. Always choose wisely, pointing to his head.
Yeah.
I love Akira Tozawa, man.
Yeah, he's great.
He's nothing but charisma. Then we had a Neville interview. You can't go wrong with a Neville interview these days. It's terrifying.
Well, I don't like it when they open up 205 Live with an interview from anybody.
That's true.
They did with Neville a few times.
Yeah,
and while he's good, you shouldn't open the show with a backstage interview.
Backstage is the key. It could be an in-ring promo. You're fine with that. Backstage interview. You're right. You're absolutely right.
You don't want to open a show with that.
Did NXT get a new backstage interviewer? Is she brand
new?
Yeah. Have we seen her before?
Not that I'm aware of. Because she introduced herself.
Yeah, she did. I don't know if they're just making everybody do that now, though.
No, like I think they had her introduce herself because that was,
because
if not
was,
her first
brand new.
TV appearance, one of her first. Because I don't remember seeing her before.
I liked her. She came off like, well, we'll get to that when we get to NXT. Neville interview. I mean, he didn't really say much new, but it's always fun hearing him talk. Because I don't know. Do you think, let me ask you something. I think his promo was scripted. He does really, really well with what they're giving him, though.
Yes.
Do you think he's got cue cards? Because he looks around a lot, but
I've
he doesn't make it obvious.
I've noticed that, too.
He doesn't make it obvious, though.
I think a lot of talents use cue cards, and that's why they don't look at camera or at the interviewer.
Yeah. Well, I know Vince has a big problem with people. I remember the DDP thing, how he was supposed to be addressing Undertaker, and he just started doing this.
Yeah.
I mean, that was like 20 years ago, but... when he does it, it makes it look more like he's surveying the battlefield, you know? And so it works. It's an effective tactic he takes. But because it was like a pretty extended promo that was, you know, it took a lot of twists and turns. I liked it. I don't know. Neville's really good on the mic, dude. Then we had, I really like this match.
Yeah, it was good.
Mustafa Ali versus Tony Nese. Mustafa Ali is fantastic.
Yeah, he is.
That dude is great. Early on, Drew Gulak, I think before the match even started.
Right, it was about to start.
Okay, Drew Gulak came out with his protest sign and a bullhorn, going on about the no-fly, no flippy stuff.
We ain't lying.
We don't want flying.
No high flying.
Yeah, there you go. So Drew Gulak ended up on commentary. I like that Corey Graves at first was sort of anti, but he was trying to
come around to Gulak's way of thinking.
And Gulak's way of thinking is essentially, you know, why are you risking the health of these superstars? I'm thinking, what do we got, another heel who makes good points here? He has a good point.
But it was funny. Corey Graves did kind of come around to Gulak's philosophy, but after Gulak got hit with the top rope move after the match ended,
yeah.
Corey Graves was like, you know, I kind of appreciate what Drew's saying, but that was awesome. More or less. I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah, that's good. You know what's kind of interesting about this angle, though? This whole thing is like one of the more... So we mentioned this, like the dirt sheet tomorrow is going to be kind of... It's a light news week. And largely, you know, you read the rest of the Wrestling Observer that Dave Meltzer puts out, and there's not a lot going on. But one of the more interesting points that he made in terms of how it kind of relates to this... is the last PWG show that we didn't go to, because he runs that down and he talks about the Leo Rush match where he fought... I forgot who he fought. Anyways.
It was Phoenix.
Okay, it was Phoenix. Thank you. And there was one spot where apparently Leo Rush got knocked loopy.
Yeah.
And he within 30 seconds, he was back up, but it was still kind of obvious that he was weak on his feet. And Meltzer said, you know, we're living in a new age where the fans in attendance at PWG... seem more concerned for Leo Rush than they did marking out over the big move that had taken place. Like, people were kind of concerned. Whereas back in the ECW days, for example, people would be marking out hardcore if somebody got effed up.
Yeah.
Where, you know, the PWG crowd, which we kind of know, like, they're kind of ahead of the curve in terms of, like, trends. They were, like, kind of freaked out over it, and they all kind of were silent in their concern.
Yeah. I think part of that, too, is... the PWG shows take place in such a small, intimate venue that it's pretty, you know, if someone gets hurt, everybody in that room can tell.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which may not have been the case in other places.
And also, well, yeah, but, you know.
I think
there have been bloodthirsty crowds in the past, and nowadays everybody knows.
Wrestling crowds have changed, yes.
Yeah, you know, like, I guarantee everybody saw that Shibata match, know? And it's like, I don't know, that just sort of stuck with me as sort of. And then there was a good article on, not everywhere it was, but it was running down how things, you know, just sort of need to change in New Japan, you know, be interesting if it does. But anyways, that was sort of a long road to get to this, you know, Drew Gulak's, the points that he's making about putting superstars at risk for the entertainment of people. It's like, hey, you know what, the guy actually has a point here.
Yeah. So the finish of this match saw Gulak pull Tony Nese out of harm's way, right as Mustafa Ali was setting up for the inverted 450.
Yeah.
And then Ali was the one that got DQ'd.
Simply because Gulak made contact with Tony Nese.
Yeah.
And letter of the law.
After that.
That was a great move. Ali gets up to the top rope or to the top turnbuckle.
Yeah, while Gulak's kind of celebrating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then as soon as he turns around, Ali like drops on him basically.
Yeah. Does a flip.
Does like a flippy thing on him. And I was like, oh my God, that was terrifying.
Yeah.
But no, that was a really, really cool spot. Then we had Austin Aries talking to Jack Gallagher in the locker room.
Yeah, there's no audio.
Oh, okay.
Just a really quick shot.
All right. I must have been paying attention to something else. Then we had Neville versus Gallagher. I thought that this was going to be... He talked to Kurt Angle about having something special about this match.
I thought so, too. But then I think they said during the show last night, 205 Live, that Aries was talking to Angle about payback.
Oh, interesting.
So that was kind of unclear.
Huh. Well, that's going to be all
because it made it seem like on Raw it was 205 Live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right, right.
But I guess
right.
Now it's payback.
Yeah.
So,
huh?
Who knows?
Who knows? So, anyways, Neville versus Gallagher. This was a fantastic match. This was a really, really good match, and I hope it does. Whenever Neville and Aries settle their thing, I'm assuming payback's going to be their blow off. But I guess they could extend it.
They definitely could, especially if Perkins gets involved.
Do you think do you think it's going to split off anything? Is it going to be Austin Aries, TJ Perkins?
No, I think Austin Aries is concentrating on getting that belt.
All right.
Because we already saw Neville Gallagher before Aries got into the title picture. That was a match at the pay-per-view before Mania.
Yeah, that was such a short thing, though.
We probably will down the line.
Well, I imagine so, yeah.
But I think that...
he had a terrific match on NXT with Tyler Bate. Oh my God.
Yeah, that was so fun.
Good. That was so good.
So towards the beginning of this match, Neville gets out of the ring, grabs William III, Jack Gallagher's umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought for sure he was going to break it over his knee.
Yeah.
Instead, he threw it pretty much all the way up the ramp. And then he turns around. Gallagher hits a suicide dive.
Mm-hmm.
Great timing on that spot.
Yeah. There's a lot of really great timing.
In response to Neville's disrespect towards his umbrella.
Yeah. I like this the bit here. It was kind of towards the end when Neville... So Gallagher hits a... Gallagher hit a drop kick.
Yeah.
Neville does a kip up. Gallagher hits a headbutt. Oh, no. I was thinking of the headbutt during the Tyler Bate match.
Yeah.
There's two fantastic Gallagher matches over the course of 2 days.
Well, yeah. I thought that spot was great because when Neville got back up, he was screaming at Gallagher.
What
do you say? This isn't your time or something
right,
like that?
Yeah.
Not this time.
Yeah.
And then ate a headbutt.
Yeah, that was great.
And then Gallagher did the kind of half-conscious fall onto him for the pin. It was good.
Yeah. Then Neville ends up getting the win with the Rings of Saturn.
Yeah, and then Neville attacks. He walks about halfway up the ramp, turns around, and then goes and attacks Gallagher after the match finishes.
Didn't he start dragging him up the ramp?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Because he's going to put him in the rings on the ramp.
Yeah.
Austin Aries comes out, hits a discus five arm, and then puts Neville on the last chancery.
Yeah.
So.
Not looking good for my Aries prediction.
Nope.
He stood tall, but at the same time, Gallagher got the win at the end of 205 Live. Eh.
Wait, what? No, Gallagher did win.
I'm sorry. Neville got the win.
It doesn't matter who got the win. It's who stood tall.
The last frame of film.
Yes. That's all that matters.
You're probably right. Damn it. All right. Let's talk about NXT. My favorite hour. I watched that Aleister Black match twice.
Oh, yeah?
I brought Talia in, my niece. I was like, hey, because she went with us to NXT.
Yeah.
I was like, you got to check out this guy. I'm like, this is what your uncle wants to look like. Like this guy right here. How would you feel if you walked in from school and I was sitting there in the cross leg position and there's candles everywhere and like a big old beard and tattoos everywhere?
Well, you know you can't do the beard.
Well, what if I did? It's a fucking fantasy, man. You can. Damn it with the cursing. It's a fantasy. I could have it in my fantasy, right?
Okay.
You're controlling my fantasies now?
No, I'm just
a jerk.
I'm here to kind of, on occasion, throw cold water on situations because it's just not
believable.
That's
your gimmick. Oh, that's
it's
a good gimmick.
It's just not believable, Steve.
Cold water Larson.
Yeah.
You just throw cold water on people.
Well, not literally.
It's not going to happen. That's your new gimmick.
No,
that's your catchphrase.
I dash people's hopes. Yeah. Not going to happen.
I like it. That's good. Not going to happen.
Let me ask you this.
I like it.
We'll talk.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
I'm going to ask you this question first because I know you have concerns about Aleister Black.
Still not down with that intro, but go ahead.
What intro?
NXT's intro.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not talking about that.
Still not down with
that. You have concerns about Aleister Black ending up on 205 Live.
Man, they better not do that.
Let me ask you this. Based on...
No.
3 weeks... Three or four weeks he's been on TV.
Doesn't fit.
Including TakeOver. Let me finish my question.
He doesn't fit on 205 Live.
That's not exactly my question.
Okay. No.
Based on how they've been booking him.
Yeah.
How they've been packaging him. How they've been presenting him.
Yeah.
Do you find it conceivable that's their goal?
No.
It's not, because they're booking him like $1 million. Packaging is... I compare it to Finn Balor, because Finn Balor is technically a cruiserweight.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But from the very beginning, they treat him like a main roster, main event guy. And
that's
the same treatment Aleister Black is getting.
Yeah.
The match in... This is how I look at it. I thought about this last night. He's in a triple threat match during the European tour against Neville and Austin Aries. This is how I'm choosing to look at that match. Not like, oh, man, they're going to put him in the cruiserweight division. That's lame.
Yeah.
This is how I'm thinking about it. They view him so highly already that he's in a match for a belt.
Yeah.
And granted, it's not obviously like, you know, a main event belt. It's a belt.
Hold on a second. Wait a second. I didn't realize those matches that he's in, it's triple threat match for the belt.
Yeah, for the cruiserweight title.
Oh, God. Oh, he's fighting for the cruiserweight title.
But it's a non-televised match in the Netherlands, his home country. So I think they just wanted to put him in a match that had some importance to it.
Oh, that makes me so sad.
But it's just a one-time deal.
Like,
he's going to be in NXT for at least 8 more months.
You think so?
Yeah.
God, he's so perfect, though.
I know he's great.
He's so perfect.
Man, he's going to be in. He's going to be in NXT for a while longer.
Yeah.
They're going to build him up.
Let's hope. Maybe by the time NXT's done
this?
With,
I'm going to make a prediction. I don't know how good I feel about it, but I'm making a prediction.
Okay.
TakeOver New Orleans next year.
Okay.
Aleister Black is going to be the NXT champion.
That'd be great.
So in 1 year time, you know, about 1 year. And if he is NXT champion, there is zero chance.
Oh, you think
going
so?
To 205 Live.
Yeah.
Zero.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, you're right. They're booking him like a monster.
They're booking him like a main event guy.
They are. They really are. They. Yeah, I know. They really are.
Like a top of the card main event guy.
Yeah. He doesn't move like a cruiserweight like that. I think that's kind of the biggest thing for me, is that he doesn't have the skill set. He doesn't have the ring work of a cruiserweight. That's kind of my thing.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if they like 205 Live thematically is flippy stuff. I mean, I'm sure with Drew Gulak, he's sort of doing the antithesis of that. He's going to be a ground game guy. But there's a certain type of wrestler, and your Finn Balor point is exactly correct. I just hope they don't have that in their heads at all. I mean, he also worked with Neville in the UK tournament.
Yeah.
And that wasn't cruiserweight specific. So, I think you're right about that. I get concerned. I get worried because there's so much money.
Oh,
dude,
yeah.
He is so on point.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, it's amazing.
He hasn't even spoken a word yet.
Let's start at the beginning.
Yeah.
I've never seen a promo. I got to look. I keep on meaning to go back and look at some Tommy N stuff.
Oh, wait. Didn't in one of his video packages he talk? Well, I mean,
he does narration.
He did the voiceover, but I thought in something else. I mean, I'm thinking of the video they put out right when he signed.
That I don't know.
Where he did an interview. Maybe that's what I'm getting confused by. Whatever.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. What I mean,
was there a video package during the UK tournament? No, I don't think so.
No. That was a surprise.
That was a surprise, I know.
I guess what I mean is he hasn't done a promo yet.
No, I think you're right, though. I think they did like a signing, like a spotlight video, maybe when he signed.
Yeah,
they did.
It was at the Sports Center.
It was him practicing and stuff.
But I thought he meant since he's debuted his current gimmick.
Mm-mm.
I know he hasn't dropped a promo, but I can't remember if in one of the video packages.
He might have, like, I know obviously there's a voiceover narration.
Yes.
He might have said something to the camera, but it might have been like a sentence or something.
Yeah.
Anyways, NXT opened up I'm coming around on the theme song. I just can't, like, the drone kills me. Like the open, like that thing kills it for me. Like it lessens it for me.
It's still going to take a while for me to get used to it.
Yeah, I know. It's the roar of the crowd.
Yeah.
Comes for me.
Yeah.
I like that.
I'm so used to it.
I know, me too. But I'm trying because it is my favorite hour of TV on wrestling in wrestling. Nikki Cross comes out, and instead of grabbing a mic,
that was great.
She goes up to interview Bot, who's holding the mic. She leans down into her lap where the mic is, and she starts delivering her promo there.
It was fantastic.
That was amazing.
That was so good.
I love Nikki Cross. Ruby, come out and play. That was great. So she calls out Ruby Riott, who responds. She comes out looking like a million bucks. I think Ruby Riott's packaging is fantastic. Mm-hmm. She looks great.
Mm-hmm.
She comes out. They brawl. They have to be separated, I believe, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they just start taking it to each other. Then we had a Bobby Roode interview. I don't remember this. I kind of remember this. I think it was in the kitchen. What did he say?
You were in the kitchen? He was just responding to Hideo Itami knocking him out.
Oh, that's right.
On last week's show.
That's kind of my least, like the least interesting thing for me right now. Is Bobby Roode a Hideo Itami? I think everything else is going on. Almas versus Drew Let me ask you this. I'll get to it when we get to the main event. Get to the main event.
Yeah, we had Andrade Cien Almas versus Drew McIntyre. This is
a takeover level match.
It was good.
Yeah.
This feud or this match was set up following the events of Heavy Machinery's iPhone video last week.
That's right.
And during this match, commentary said something like,
immediately.
Pretty soon.
Yeah.
You got to wonder if Andrade's even worried about the results of this match or he's just worried about what he's going to do afterwards.
I know.
And I just thought, ugh. Because here's my thing.
I love it. Tranquilo.
No, here's my thing. Why should anybody care about a wrestler if they don't even care about their wrestling?
Because he's a heel, man. They shouldn't care about him. No, he's a heel.
No. Well, they should care about whether he wins or loses.
He does it with such style, though. He looks amazing.
I love Almas. He's great. He's
fantastic. He doesn't. All he cares about is partying, though.
But if he doesn't care about his job, then why should I?
Yeah, I know. Oh, it's great, though.
That was terrible.
Because that's why. I don't know. Drew is kind of laughing off Almas through that most
of
this, too.
Drew is a stud.
Oh, he's amazing.
Man.
It feels like he's grown 6 inches.
I know.
And added 50 pounds of muscle.
He looks enormous.
He looks huge. And he's got, like, the best, manliest face I've ever seen in my life.
I know.
Like, he's fantastic. God, he looks great.
There's a great spot where Almas, you know, Drew flung him into the ropes.
Yeah.
Almas did the tranquilo on the ropes and Drew just kicked him off.
I know. It was great. Drew was basically just no selling.
And Drew had Almas. A huge thunderclap chop to the chest.
Yeah.
It was loud. It wasn't quite Almas.
I was in the kitchen on that one and I heard it. I was like, geez.
Yeah, it was really loud. They were having a chop off.
Yeah.
And Drew got the upper hand on that one.
Do you remember what Drew's finisher was back in the day?
No.
Did it change that big giant boot he does now?
I think that's a new thing.
I think that's a
newer
thing.
That wasn't his finisher in WCPW.
Oh, okay.
I don't believe.
All right. That's cool. Facebook, F off. I get all these notifications on Facebook. I don't want that. Anyways, this was great, though, because let's just cut to when this happened. Drew McIntyre picked up the win with that giant boot of his.
Yeah.
And then... later on, after a couple other things happen, interview bot goes running outside after Andrade, who had showered, got in his dapper party clothes and was headed towards a limo SUV with like 8 women that were all very happy to see him. That was amazing. She's like, let's talk about your match with Drew. And he goes.
No, he asked if she was coming with
him. Oh, that's right. I don't know why I like this. I think I like it because it's so silly. I don't know why I like it. I think I like it because he's all in on it. Because he's completely in on this. Like, I've never seen a wrestler who doesn't care if he wins or loses. He just wants to go party afterwards.
I know.
That's taking the whole I'm just here for the money thing to the next level.
I know.
Because he's just saying, I literally don't care about anything but making money. It's not like, oh, I'm here to win and make money. It's I'm just here to make money. This is just a job, so I'm going to go party now with my money.
Yeah.
I'd love that. I don't know why. I don't know why you don't like it, and I do like it. I have no idea
and
why.
Maybe it's because I'm comparing this to, say, Naito.
Yeah.
Where Naito is aloof.
Yeah.
He's disrespectful to the belt.
Mm-hmm.
But you can tell he still wants to win.
Well, he has pride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just the way he performs his character is great.
Yeah.
There's so much depth, so many layers to his character, and he doesn't really do much.
Yeah.
Just because he's a good performer.
Yeah.
And maybe knowing that Almas worked with Naito in the past, knowing that Almas was one of the founders of Los Ingobernables. Not that I want to see him just kind of rehash what he did before.
Yeah.
I just think he can do so much more.
I think this is the next... I think this is like the evolution of Naito, though. Like, he doesn't care about much, so why should he care about winning?
Because if he doesn't win, he's not going to have a job for
like winning to Naito is kind of just sticking it in people's faces.
Yeah.
You know? Like, screw you, I'm going to win.
Yeah.
What if Almas' thing is, screw you, I don't care if I win? It's kind of the next level.
But here's the problem with that. If he is doesn't win in kayfabe,
yeah,
what reason is there for him to even have a job?
He's got a contract.
Yeah, not like that's an ironclad thing.
Yeah, that's true. But it's not like the UFC where you're 3-and-done. I don't know, man. I don't know why I like it, but I do.
I think you like it because I don't.
No, it's not that. No, I do. Don't get me wrong. I appreciate you ragging on the angle when you're doing comedically. And I'm totally like respectful of the fact that you're not into the angle. I don't even know why I am. I find it amusing as hell. And the fact that it's, I don't know.
I do at least appreciate that they have him doing something.
Aren't you curious about, that's very true. Aren't you curious about where it's going to go? Like, what could this lead to?
No.
I kind of am. Like, okay, well, because you're right. If he just
well, it's going to lead to him actually being hungover during a match or drunk or something, I imagine. And him being disciplined by Regal because of it.
Yeah. That I'm kind of in because you're right. It is doing something. It's doing something.
Or maybe he literally walks out in the middle of a match.
Yeah.
To go in his limo.
Yeah.
Something like that.
I
That's
know.
Because
it has to go to, there's got to be some, you know.
They got to build.
He's got to build to something.
If it's just him liking the party and that's it, it's not going anywhere.
What's on his Instagram? Hold on. I want to look at his Instagram.
Well, while you look that up, after the Almas McIntyre match, Regal backstage.
Okay, so let's see here. So he says, Diversion Aseguarda. What does Aseguarda mean? I know what Diversion means.
That means fun, right?
Aseguarda.
After the Almas McIntyre match, Regal announces backstage that later on in the show, we will get Nikki Cross versus Ruby Riott.
A decided diversion. I don't know what that means.
Well, it could also mean guaranteed. Maybe saying guaranteed fun.
Guaranteed fun. There you guaranteed go. Yeah. Fun. How do you not love that? Look at this. Like,
is he in
I thought that was a cigarette. That would have been great if that was a cigarette.
I like these in his ring gear.
He's in his ring gear. At
on
like
a patio somewhere.
Thinking of the fun, always. Oh, he's great. Oh, and then look at this. Slow-mo shot of him coming up in a pool. It's. I think he's so convincingly not giving a shit.
Yeah.
And that, for whatever reason, I find that interesting.
I like that. I just wish kind of the motivation or what he's doing was a little more interesting.
What's more interesting? Look at that. He's got three hot-looking females right there. That's interesting. Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know, but I think, to me, he's got so much charisma. I do kind of feel the Naito not giving a crap thing. Like, he's got his priorities out of whack. And that kind of makes me laugh. Anyways, what happened next? What was going on?
And then after Regal announced that we'd get Nikki Cross versus Ruby Riott later in the evening, there was a Roderick Strong video package.
Oh, man, this was heavy, man.
Yeah.
This was super heavy. I mean, I'll be honest. I'm not sure how far this is going to go in terms of getting him over. It was fascinating. It was absolutely fascinating. I mean, he's got a really, really interesting and in some ways tragic upbringing, but then it's very heartwarming to see how it turned out and how he used it as motivation. But his dad was some sort of local
musician,
rock star guy wanting to live the rock star life. And his mom
had some drug issues.
And then did I get this right? She ended up shooting his dad with a shotgun,
something like that,
but he ended up surviving.
Yeah.
He ended up living. And then I guess that ended up with them splitting up. But then he found inspiration in his mom because she ended up cleaning up.
Yeah, and then his dad got hired by some local promotion to do wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And so it seemed like Roderick and his dad learned how to wrestle kind of together.
Right, right, right.
And that Jim Neidhart trained his dad and kind of somewhat trained him or started Roderick's training.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting story.
No,
yeah.
It's a fascinating story. I wonder how that's going to translate. Like, I don't want them to use, like, just think that a feel-good story is going to all of a sudden make me, you know, like I'm rooting for the guy to succeed in any way possible.
Yeah.
As part of the show, I think it'd be great if he was a heel. It's kind of obvious by showing this video package. That's not going to happen anytime soon. But I do want them to give him some meaty story to chew on and see where that takes him. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, there are certain wrestlers, I think, that are really good in the ring that I do not care about. I don't care if they... I mean, look, I want everybody to succeed, but there's certain guys that I just can't. And Roderick Strong is one of those guys, like, I really want to have a reason to root for him as a character.
Yes.
I just haven't... They haven't given us that yet.
Yes.
You know? And it can't just be, oh, he's Roderick Strong.
Yeah.
So yeah, but no, it was a fantastic little, you know, little,
and there's a second part of it coming next week.
Yeah. Cool. I know. That's good.
Next.
Oh, this is my favorite. Keanu Reeves.
Kona Reeves.
Oh my God. I watched this several times over.
Versus Aleister Black.
I can watch Tommy N's entrance so many more times over.
It's so
good. The music, the packaging, his look, the lighting, the smoke.
The theme.
The sitting down.
The music.
Oh, his name, how it is that weird cryptic stuff, and then it turns into his name. Oh, my God. It's all so good. It's all everything that I want in wrestling, man. It's so good. And this was decidedly a different outing than his when he fought Scott.
Corey Hollis.
Because this time, Keanu Reeves...
Kona Reeves.
They said, you know, he's got, this statement from Nigel McGuinness, and I'm not sure if this is, you know, something that is foreshadowing what their plans are with him, but he made a point of saying Keanu Reeves has a couple inches on Tommy End. And so I'm like, okay, well maybe that, you know, they're allowing that he's prepared to fight bigger opponents.
Yeah.
That to me kind of says, okay, I think they've got bigger plans for him.
Yeah. 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 Kona Reeves, you know, like, a couple weeks ago when, Aleister Black fought Corey Hollis,
mm-hmm.
Hollis, you know, waited for Aleister to make the first move.
Yeah.
And he ended up getting knocked out.
Right.
This match, and they did a good job of pointing this out in commentary.
Yeah.
Kona Reeves, as soon as that bell rang, he ran right after Aleister Black.
Mm-hmm.
So I like, even in these matches, which, you know, are more or less squash matches, this one is.
But they're good get-to-know-you matches.
Yeah, but they're still telling a story.
Yeah. When Braun does a squash match, it's the same thing every time.
Pretty much.
Added people.
Yeah.
With Tommy End, it's he can get you with, like, an out-of-nowhere black mass. Or he can, you know, absorb the punishment of a man much larger than him and then dole it out.
Yeah.
And some of the character work was just outstanding. Like, he grabbed his arm and he was just staring him down. I was terrified for Keanu Reeves.
That spot where Aleister Black delivered a fury of... A flurry of strikes. And then once Kona Reeves hit the mat... He sat down.
It was in tandem. Like he did it. He kicked him in the head. And as he flops down, Aleister Black goes down in the sitting position. Oh, man. It was fantastic. Oh, that was
really good.
That was so good, man. That was so good. Oh, that was so good. Then Aleister Black gets back up and he does the thing where he lifts him by the chin with his foot and then drops him with a black mask, gets the pin, sits back down. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It's and the camera work, the production
everything.
Work. Everything is so to perfection.
He's going to be a huge star.
Oh, man. Oh, I love it.
He's going to be huge in NXT for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Then we had a Ruby Riott interview. I like Ruby Riott a lot, man.
Yeah.
I think she's
going to
be in.
Very comfortable on the mic.
I hope that she's sort of an NXT mainstay for like another year or two. You know, like not because she's not ready for main, because she just feels so NXT. And I want to see her spend a lot of time there and do a lot of quality work.
I feel
there.
Like she, in a lot of ways, feels like a successor to Asuka.
Yeah, I get that too.
In terms of being a mainstay.
Right, exactly.
In NXT
for
a year or so.
Yeah, because she's obviously in many ways distinctly different from Asuka, but she has that ready for prime time feel. It's just she seems to fit in so perfectly with what NXT.
Well, her packaging's so good, her character's mm-hmm. well defined.
Yeah, yeah. The whole punk thing works perfectly mm-hmm. for NXT.
Mm-hmm.
And then after
Andrade avoids the interview and goes to party, we had. Was supposed to be Ruby Riott versus Nikki Cross, but while Ruby Riott was making her way down the ring, Nikki Cross sneaks attack from behind before the bell even rings, and then they brawl all over around the ramp area, get separated again. It was cool. Ruby Riott hit a cross body.
Oh, yeah.
Off the ramp.
That was fun. That was cool.
That was cool.
Yeah. That was really neat. Then we had the this was set up last week in a really terrible promo, backstage interview thing with both these guys. But this match was absolutely fantastic. It's just, man, what are they going to do with these UK guys?
I don't know.
They were all sitting ringside, so they didn't reveal that until the end of the match, I don't think. But
yeah, they did. They
okay,
did.
All right. But Tyler Bate, Jack Gallagher put on. I mean, I've never seen a lot of like World of Sport technician wrestling type stuff from back in the day, but I feel like they were going for, like Nigel McGuinness mentioned that it seemed to be inspired by that kind of stuff.
Yes.
Just, it was so much fun to watch these guys. There was this awesome spot where Tyler Bate had Jack Gallagher on the outside of the ring. He was on the inside of the ring, and he measured him for a suicide dive, and he runs back. He whips off the rope. He comes back, and as he's trying to do the suicide dive, Jack Gallagher does a desperation headbutt, and it just stops Tyler Bate cold in his tracks. It was fantastic.
Yeah, and there was a lot of good technical submission wrestling.
Yeah, like the very—I mean, it's all highly choreographed stuff.
Oh,
where
doing
like
this. But the way the it's so stylized.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and they have this very deliberate, measured way they move from move to move.
Yeah,
that is so interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so different than what we're used to in, you know, from watching WWE pretty much all our lives.
Yeah,
it's just a completely different style, and it's kind of refreshing to see a different style and a different style used to tell stories.
Yeah,
it's great.
Part of me wants to see. Whenever they do the UK thing, Jack Gallagher in that.
I know.
Oh, my. You know what's been great, though? You know what's been fantastic? This is how tiny these guys are. If Drew McIntyre showed up and just destroyed both of them and just stole the title. Because he's a UK guy.
Yeah.
That'd have been fantastic.
He just
shows up. Like, takes both their arm sockets out. That'd be great.
Pete Dunne is, what, 5'11", 200 pounds, something like that?
Yeah, but Drew McIntyre.
No, he's 6'5", like 250.
6'5", 250, just muscle.
I know.
No, I know. It'd be great to see those guys.
And Trent Seven's got to be 6 foot at least.
I think he's 6 feet, yeah.
Probably 215. Were they billing him at 220?
I would think, and I think he's closer to 220. He's got a boiler on him, dude.
Yeah. Ask a question.
Yeah, no, well, hold on a second. 5'11", so, yeah, they cut to the crowd, and you see the most beautiful thing. Most beautiful thing.
They're all cheering except who?
Pete Dunne, who looked like somebody farted on his face. He looked so angry. And then he even tweeted out a picture of that. And he was just sitting there.
Yeah, it was great.
Oh, man. All those guys should have been sitting there like this, though, man. They need to do something. Let me ask you something. So Tyler Bate looks sleepy again.
Well, his hair's not combed back.
Yeah.
And he's got a beard.
He's got the scruff. Are any of these guys, is there any twinge of regret for any of these guys thinking that maybe they were going? I mean, I know they're still fighting in other places, WWE approved places.
Yeah.
They need to pull the trigger.
Oh, I know. And they keep alluding to it happening at some point. But I just go back to seeing British Strong Style, the three of them together at the Progress show, and they seem to be having a blast together.
Yeah, I know. But at some point, it's just like, man, are we ever going to get this off the ground or what? You know,
I think they would more likely feel that way if they were prevented from working other places.
Yeah, no, I agree.
If they had to sit around and wait to make money, that would
be a
bummer.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But they're still going out there and performing and making money and doing things.
No,
and
I think you're right about it.
It might be kind of cool for them, too, you know, considering if the WWE UK stuff exists in a separate universe from Progress or ICW, then that could potentially be fun for them.
Yeah.
Where Trent Seven and Tyler Bate could be heels, you know, 75% of the time, but a quarter of the time, they got to have fun being faces.
Yeah.
It could just be an interesting experience.
And,
for
you know, the thing is, like, when we've seen Tyler Bate defend that championship the two times or three times now, I think it's been, he hasn't really been heel or face.
No.
He just comes out. There's kind of a, like when he came out last night, there was kind of a little hint of like.
He had new ring gear.
His smile had a bit less
enthusiasm.
Baby face on it.
Yes.
You know?
He still did his waving thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it wasn't quite as.
It wasn't like,
exuberant.
Yeah, I know. He's like, I'm not really the underdog 19-year-old, you know?
Yeah.
I'm a man.
Yeah.
Anyways, no, I thought it was a blast. I just really want to see them. I want to see them do their thing. You know, it's like I do feel like, yeah, you're right. Like at the Progress show, especially, we saw them having a lot of fun. And then, you know, making light of the fact that, hey, we've got to be at Access, you know, we're sellouts, but we're not,
yeah,
kind of thing. We're well, ironic, it's like sellouts.
It's like we're sellouts, but we're obligated to be here still.
Exactly. Yeah. Like we sold out because we're sellouts and we're heels for it. You know, that kind of thing. I want a spotlight on these guys. I really do.
Totally.
Let's answer some questions. This is not the right question thread, so no. You're going to have to start.
Eddie Menevar. Where is Grand Metalik? He was
runner-up
on the Cruiserweight tournament. How come we haven't seen much of him? When we do you think his mask will hinder his character development, given there is not enough time on 205 Live or Raw as it is? Hamza Halal responds and says he's on Main Event for whatever reason. And I think someone asked Dave Meltzer about Grand Metalik, and that's what he said, is that he's just been doing Main Event and house shows.
Mm-hmm. As far as the character stuff, I don't know, man. I don't know. I have always felt like that the luchadors need to give them more in order to establish actual character because of the mask. You can't see a dude's eyes. Grand Metalik is fully luchador, didn't he? I think he's got the entire mask on. Grand Metalik. But then there hasn't been, he's completely masked. Oh, it was his eyes. You can kind of see his eyes. But otherwise, you can't see his mouth, can't see. So, I mean.
You can't see any, when he's wrestling, can't see facial expressions and stuff.
Right. So is he going to be on the same level of like a Jack Gallagher in terms of like their storylines, or like a Noam Dar? Like you can't, I don't think it'd be really, you can't really drop Grand Metalik into like the Rich Swann role in the Noam Dar thing. So in a certain respect, it'll be interesting to see how they approach story with guys that are fully masked. It's not like Sin Cara ever had any stories of his own.
But Kalisto has been. Granted, you know, he.
I can talk.
Exactly. I know.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's got the Rey Mysterio thing going for him. He's like a smaller guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It'll be interesting.
It will be.
I don't think it'll help, but it's sort of the jury's out on whether it'll hinder.
Yes.
I guess.
Low-level writer Carlos Hackworth. Do you think 205 Live would be better if it aired before SmackDown?
Yeah.
I think it'd be better if it was just its own thing.
I think it would be better if it was own. I think it would be better if it was its own thing, but you'd get the crowd hyped up. You know, you'd have a crowd ready to be hyped up.
Here's a problem.
SmackDown be...
Because everybody knows what time SmackDown starts.
Mm-hmm.
And if people didn't care about 205 Live, they might just not show up. And so they could be wrestling in a half-full arena.
Yeah, you're right about that.
That would not be a good look.
You were right about that. Absolutely. Okay. Nicholas Viola has an interesting question. Which non-British, Irish, or Scottish person would you like to see compete for the UK Championship? None, because it's the UK champion.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be a localized title.
Exactly, yeah.
Terrence Thompson. Andrade Cien Almas is officially jobber to the stars. Was it a mistake for the WWE to not call him up to SmackDown Live to form his version of LIJ? If he were called up to SmackDown Live, he just would have been a mid-card jobber probably.
Yeah.
At this point. He might have got a couple wins early on, but
I'm very happy that they did not call him up because
at least they're doing something with him
in NXT. Like we've seen, like we could have seen with Apollo Crews, there's room to negotiate. If something doesn't work, you can pivot. If something does work, you can keep going and see how long you can play it out and then really establish something that's great.
Yes.
So that's what NXT is kind of for.
And I will say this, I'm not that into Andrade's current gimmick, but if it becomes something that's interesting and he is taken seriously as a wrestler, then I might come around to it.
Yeah, I think, man, you know, I'm trying to pin down like why I'm optimistic about it. And it's just a wealth of them. And I think I'm mainly trying to find a time when they did something like this and it didn't work and why it didn't work. I think it's because they try to shoehorn certain guys. They would try to shoehorn certain guys into that.
Into roles that don't fit him, yeah.
But he seems to fit this. Like, he seems to revel in this so much. And I think that's one reason why, on that level, at least it works for me. Let's see here. Because I seem to have faith. Whenever somebody seems so comfortable and they're giving their all and they're... And it's... It... What... what they're trying to achieve is clicking, because you have to admit what he's trying to do is it does work.
Yeah.
I tend to have faith in that, as opposed to if somebody's trying their best to do something that I just think is.
I guess here's my worry. I worry
isn't them.
My worry is that this is a gimmick and not a storyline.
If it's just
a gimmick, it's going to be a bummer.
Yeah.
If it's a story and it leads somewhere, I can get into it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, look, dude, I'm with you on that. I mean, that's a valid concern to have. For me, it's too early to say whether or not I feel like it is, but, you know, I can totally see your point. Let's see here. With Nate Morris, with the Who is Roderick Strong Part 1 and Part 2 to come, what is a percentage chance that he'll be built to be the next champ, or when could we see him winning it? I wonder if this little mini documentary thing is then to set him up to see how the crowd will then respond to him. My worry with that is they're relying on this to get him over, and they're not going to rely on like a story to help that along. I mean, having these little mini docs showing how grounded of a person he is and showing the humanity behind him would be the perfect juxtaposition to something like Sanity,
mm-hmm.
you know, who's
mm-hmm.
looking to tear that down, basically.
Yeah.
Who's looking
yeah.
to have people like Ruby Riott said conform to their way of doing
things. And he has had some interactions with Sanity.
Mm-hmm. And I think a Roderick Strong, Eric Young
would feud, be great.
Fantastic.
It'd be really fantastic. Good. Really good.
Yeah.
Dom the Man Hilberg. When is Jack Gallagher getting a belt put on him? And when the UK show starts, should he move to that, stay on 205 Live, or pull double duty? He could pull double duty.
You know, I mean, I think it'd be... Yeah, he could totally pull.
Because I think they're going to tape the UK show.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll just be, you know, 1 or 2 days a month.
If I had my druthers, if I had my choice, I'd want to see him on the UK show.
Yeah,
because
I think I would too.
If you look at all the UK talent, like, they're sort of...
Well, they've only been pushing really 5 competitors.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm looking back at the UK tournament. Like, they're all very, like, rough around the edge guys, you know? Like, and Jack Gallagher obviously is not that. So it'd be interesting to see him match up with some of those, you know.
Yeah.
They all have sort of the working class appearance, I guess, if you want to call it that. Smark Wahlberg, first time questioner. Let's see here. Which WWE season? Oh, good question. Which season do you guys prefer? The road to WrestleMania, where the focus is on big name stars and big matches, or the post Mania to Money in the Bank time frame, where the focus seems to be more on the full time wrestlers and undercard guys? I kind of like the road to the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Because it's like, ooh, who's going to be in the Rumble?
That typically has the most intrigue.
Yeah, because like, who's going to be there? I wonder who's going
to
be there.
I think last year I enjoyed the build up to SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
More so than probably any of the other major 4 shows.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I can get on board with that. Like from Money in the Bank to SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can get on board with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. Yeah, it's funny. The last 2 Road to WrestleMania's have been really underwhelming.
I know.
Been like, it's just been Road to Disappointment.
I know. Smapty Jones, with the Broken Hardy being purchased, which wrestling gimmicks are the most valuable currently and or historically?
Well, Austin 316. I mean, that's like the biggest... One of the biggest.
That was the gimmick that made the WWE the most money.
I would assume that the wealth of John Cena merchandise, whenever there's a new shirt, that's probably a feeding frenzy.
Yes.
Merchandise sales. I imagine Hogan sold a lot of merch. Did they have Hogan merch? They had licensed Hogan things. They have like a lot of Hogan t-shirts during his 83 to 80.
Well, they had all those
run?
Hulkamaniac shirts.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that was iconic. Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay. I sound stupid now. I imagine Ultimate Warrior was a wealth of merchandise sales. He had very good looking merch.
Yeah.
I mean, he had really weird design. I don't know, man. Let's see here. Oh, I like this. Dan Olding. Yesterday, you guys discussed the SmackDown tag division becoming a trios division. I answered a question yesterday when somebody said, what should they call it? I said, they should call it the tag threem.
Hmm.
That's a terrible idea.
It's not good.
It's not good. He says, if this were to happen, who would you call up from NXT to be the third member of the Fashion Police? Oh, I like that question. Off the top of my head, it's Andrade Cien Almas.
I thought that too.
Yeah. Because I feel like he would bring, like, I feel like Fashion Police need, like, women around because they're like sexy men. They're like Chippendales dancers with nobody to watch them strip.
That's a good point.
And so San Almas needs to bring the, you know, the women ready to party, like the bachelorette party.
Yeah, I also feel like Almas would kind of balance out the more comedic aspects.
Yeah.
Not, you know, I love Fashion Police.
Yeah, of course.
But I think it just, it would add a different dynamic to him.
Yeah, for sure. And,
you know, Breezango could still be funny.
Yeah.
And then Almas could carry himself a little more seriously.
Yeah, and those chops. Man, those chops.
Yeah, those thunderous chops.
Thunder chops. Let's see here. Oh, let me ask you this.
What?
I don't know if... Oh, this is a good question here. Dylan Haggett says, who from NXT 205 Live and UK division do you guys think will make it into 2K18? Well, they have to do that stuff pretty far in advance.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we'll see. I wouldn't be surprised if the UK, if British Strong Style ended up as DLC.
Yeah.
That wouldn't, because, you know, they can do that after the fact.
Yeah.
So I would not be surprised about that. 205 Live might be, I don't know, that's going to be interesting. Was there, they had NXT career mode, or a universe.
Yeah.
And they had an NXT, yeah, they built a whole NXT thing around it.
Yeah, I think they could incorporate 205 Live. I mean, that debuted in November.
Mm-hmm. That's
about
seems,
a month after.
Seems like they've had plenty of time for that.
2K17 came
out. I
mean,
this is Noam Dar. He's UK. You want to see him back in the UK division? I feel like he should stay in 205 Live. He would be like, I don't know. I feel like his character would be terrified of guys like Wolfgang and Pete Dunne.
Yeah, Pete Dunne, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Let's see. Gus Calloway. Who, if they sign with WWE, could skip NXT and go straight to Maine? AJ did, but Shinsuke didn't. Just wondering how big someone has to be to go straight to Maine, if there are any other reasons for it. Thanks. I think Shinsuke went to NXT probably, I would guess, speculation on my part, more so just kind of learn the WWE culture. I think, and also to be kind of like, you know, a top guy in NXT to carry the brand for a while until they had someone else to replace him.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. But I don't know. I think he was kind of also a building his brand type thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's part of that, too. I think I said that before. That
who doesn't,
he needed to come there here to build his brand with an American audience before going up to
who
Maine.
Who doesn't need to build their brand at this point?
I mean, the first few names that pop in my head are Kenny Omega. But yeah. I think he could still... I mean, I think if he went to NXT, he wouldn't do a disservice to him.
Yeah,
I know he said he doesn't want to do it. Yeah. I don't think he needs it. The Young Bucks, I think they can go straight to Maine.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there are certain guys, like, especially on our radar, that we wouldn't, I wouldn't want to see the Young Bucks in NXT. I think they're too big. I mean, I know it's funny because I say NXT is my favorite hour of TV, but I kind of like, I don't know. I like when guys pay their dues and get rewarded. And I think the Young Bucks, part of a reward is going straight to Maine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in that, you know, that says a lot.
But then we have Adam Cole, who's the first 3-time Ring of Honor champion. And I feel like he kind of needs to go to NXT.
Yeah, I agree. Well, he's only 27.
I know.
Yeah.
But I mean, despite the fact that he's won all those titles, you know, in terms of his personal brand,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't seem to be as well defined or as well known as, say, Kenny Omega or the Young Bucks. You know, it's close.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's quite there yet.
Let me ask you something. Does NXT need to chill out on signing potential main event guys? Adam Cole's a potential main event guy.
Yeah.
Like, I could see, sign him, and then just, you need to chill out for a bit. They have so many, it's so top heavy at this point. Like, it's just in such a small amount of time.
They're really starting to run into an issue where the guys they're trying to develop, internal guys, aren't going to get the opportunity to do that beyond just the Florida-based tour. That's strictly developmental. You know,
I don't see anybody coming up like that's signed from the sign of the Performance Center or like former, you know, MMA, NFL, whatever guys coming in having much of a chance.
Because I'm looking at the breakdown for the show last night, and I mean, I don't know if Kona Reeves was an indie guy before signing or not. Or
well, he's an example of a guy who, I mean, I have no idea either. He feels like a Performance Center guy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The Ely brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Probably Performance Center guys, I think. I know, well, hey, Authors of Pain.
Yeah.
They're Performance Center guys.
Yeah.
You know. So I'm saying, like, it's just the shift in focus of who they're signing over the past, 6 months, dude, has been so dramatic.
Oh, yeah.
That, like, all of a sudden, those Performance Center guys, like, man, now they're just fodder.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel like, man, they have one title. And the title isn't always a thing in NXT, and I get that. Like, Eric Young doesn't need the title.
Well, you have – it feels like there's guys like Eric Young and Bobby Roode who are there to kind of carry the brand until either they Performance Center competitors are ready to step up or they sign someone else, essentially.
Yeah, exactly.
They're there just to kind of keep, you know, give the brand a little more integrity, I guess, you know, because they've been champions all over the world.
Yeah, totally.
You know, give them 6-8 maybe months or maybe another year, they're gone. They're up to Maine. And then that's when Adam Cole can step up in that role, or Drew Galloway, or who else they just sign? Anyways.
Or
Aleister Black.
You know, guys like Roderick Strong. I mean,
yeah, that's just what I was thinking of. Sorry. Yeah.
It's so freaking heavy right now. Dana Brooks, sperm donor, asks, apparently Crazy Steve from TNA has joined WWE and will be in NXT. My question for you guys, do you think Crazy Steve would be a good fit for Sanity? I have no clue. I've seen one thing with Crazy Steve, maybe two.
Yeah.
And it was just Tag Team Apocalypse.
Yeah.
And he barely registered.
Yeah.
So I have no idea. Have you seen much of his stuff?
Same as you.
Yeah.
But I kind of feel like Sanity is good how it
is.
I think
they're perfect the way they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe he comes in as like a foil to Sanity.
Yeah. Could be. I have no idea. Maybe I'll look his stuff up. I forget what it was. I was reading one Impact, like an Impact recap a while ago. And like during the recap, it said something like, but Crazy Steve was involved, so I could care less. Like, it was very down on him. And I don't know, for whatever reason, that one recap that I read randomly on the internet always stuck with me as Crazy Steve's crap. So hopefully, I don't know. I'll look him up, see if that guy was crap that was writing that. I don't know.
I don't know. Three-time Motor City champion Gene the Grappler. I got an interesting question for you guys. You guys are in NXT. During your training, Eric Young approaches you and asks you to join Sanity.
Which like one in character?
No,
seems
for
like
real.
It would be, yeah.
Which one of you would join, and which one of you would fight against them?
You look more like a Sanity guy.
Because I have a beard.
Yeah, basically. You look kind of scruffy, dude. I feel like I think I would buy into Sanity more than you would.
Yeah, you would.
I don't know what I could do to look more Sanity-like, though.
Like, their ring gear looks cool, but I, you know, like, personally, I wouldn't be into it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm too generic NPC looking, to be Insanity, so I'd really have to. I'd have to tat up.
You'd need an Alexander Wolf haircut.
What does he have, like a mohawk?
Kind of.
Yeah, I'd have to get a mohawk. It's kind of all I could do. Get a mohawk, a bunch of, like, some neck tattoos.
Yeah.
I'd have to get a mohawk, neck tattoos. I'd have to go out there and, like, get whatever color I could possibly get. I mean, Alexander Wolf is really pale, but I feel like you need to look kind of dirty to be Insanity.
Well, you should just try growing whatever beard you can.
Oh, that's just weird.
No, it might be perfect. Bad. And if you let it grow long enough, if it's patchy, it'll cover up the patches a little bit.
They're like stylishly dirty. That would just not be. You remember like that Simpsons gag? I wanted Hollywood ugly, not actual ugly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be actual ugly. I need to be Sanity ugly.
Get some plugs, some hair.
You know
plugs
what I want you
face.
To do? I'd want you to join Sanity, but then I'd want you to have a Steve Jobs look. So like you get some little glasses, and then like a black turtleneck, and then like jeans and some New Balance.
Okay,
it'd be completely weird.
Okay,
but Sanity would be like, see.
What was my catchphrase? Not gonna happen.
Cold water.
Yeah.
Cold water.
Cold water Larson.
I like it. That's good. Oh, man. One last question, if we can find one. Oh, okay. Here we go. Going in Raw HR department. What main roster superstar do you think could benefit the most from being brought back down to NXT? Ty Dillinger. Let's try that again.
I mean, they haven't done anything.
Let's
with
try
yet.
That
SmackDown.
Call up again.
My goodness.
Well, he wasn't even on SmackDown this past week. What the hell?
It's so confusing.
Oh, my God. It's so bad.
I don't get it.
Oh, no. Oh, man.
They really should have kept them on NXT, have him win the NXT title.
Dude.
Because NXT, that had been totally believable.
Oh, man.
With his current, story direction.
Oh, I know.
It had been totally believable.
It's so bad. they have screwed him, man.
It's only been, what, 3 weeks?
Yeah.
It's a bummer.
Oh, it's no good.
All right.
All right, that's it. Let us know what you guys think in the comments. Until next time, talk to you guys later.
Bye.